Well, I've been to church. Thank the Lord for that song. I thank the Lord for the burden of it. I had sent out a little text this morning and asked if the young people or some of them would have had a special. And this was a song that they had, the Lord put on their heart. And I just appreciate so much this morning that when we pray, that the Lord hears and answers prayer. And when you pray, if you are in a dark place and there are dark times that each and every one of us are going to go through in life, if you are in a dark place this morning, I want you to be encouraged to know that the Lord is listening to your prayers. And the song said it better than I could, but it said it's not over yet. It's not over yet, saints. If you are in a difficult time, if you are struggling in your experience, if you are in a place maybe that you have even had some failures in your life, it's not over yet. So don't give up. Don't walk away. Don't quit trying, but keep praying and seeking God and know that it's not over yet. In the darkest times of life, often is when the victories are going to be the greatest when the Lord comes through. It's some of the dark times of life that have a way of bringing us to our knees like nothing else will. And I will go a step further this morning. I do believe, and I will just, this is the foundation of the message this morning, so don't misunderstand the message. I believe in victorious living. I believe in living free from sin. I don't only, not just because that's what the Bible teaches it, I've experienced it, so I believe it this morning. But at the same time, I recognize that there are times and places that people go through that sometimes they fall short of the fullness of what God wants them to be. There will be times some you may find yourself in a position in your experience with God where there has been repeated failure. And I want to encourage you this morning as a song, again, it's not over yet. So if there has been some repeated failures, do not give up on God because His promises are still sure. Let's turn and read in the Word of God. Jonah chapter 2. And you all know the story of Jonah. We won't spend a lot of time discussing all of it. But I will say this, Jonah found himself in a dark place. But Jonah didn't end up in a dark place, did he? Now there are a lot of lessons we can get from the life of Jonah. And you can read this story, and this story of Jonah can be preached in a lot of different ways. So I'm not taking away from times I've preached it in the past or how you might hear it preached from someone else in the future. But this is just something the Lord had put on my heart. I want to share it. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. He said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Isn't that wonderful? Why was he sick? He said, I cried by reason of mine affliction. Was Jonah sick? No. He had experienced a great failure, hadn't he? Now he had been disobedient to God, and for the purpose of the message this morning, I'm not going to quibble between failure and faults and weaknesses and the amount when it gets to the point of being sin. Wherever there is a sliding scale, there's a scale there somewhere, isn't there? Well, did I sin, or is it just a failure of grace, or did I disobey? Did I lose my salvation? Where am I at? I have found in life that sometimes we cannot cross every T and dot every I like we might like to. Young people and to everyone, I want to encourage you. There is nothing wrong with coming to the Lord when you are in a dark place and saying, Lord, frankly, I don't know if this T is crossed or not, but I still love you and I want to serve you. You do whatever you need to do in my life, but Lord, I'm yours and I'm sorry. If I committed sin and I rebelled against God, Lord, I'm sorry. He will hear your voice this morning. But if you are in a place that maybe you've been struggling and it seems like you haven't been able to conquer something in your life, and the devil is whispering, you can't do it. You just can't make it. How many times have you prayed? How many times have you asked God? How many times have you gone to the altar? It doesn't matter. If you are in a dark place and you will cry out to the Lord, He will hear you this morning. Don't give up. So Jonah was in a place, and how did he get in the belly of the fish? He was in the fish's belly. I said well earlier, didn't I? He was in the fish's belly. It was because he was disobedient. So is it time for us to get on our spiritual soapbox and high horse this morning and say that? Jonah, he was disobedient. Why would someone do that? He ran from God. Have you ever stopped and considered why Jonah ran? It was because he was afraid. He was a prophet, and God had given him a job to do. I want you to go to Nineveh. It was a wicked city. I think we ought to have a little more compassion on Jonah than we do sometimes. He was afraid. You know that the world says that fear is the number one motivator? I disagree, because there is a greater motivator than fear, and that's love. Perfect love casteth out fear. So if you're fearful this morning, there's a greater power, and that's in the love of God. And yet, fear causes people to do things sometimes they wouldn't ordinarily do. And we can criticize Jonah, and yes, he did wrong. I'm not excusing or justifying it. But folks, have any of us here, after we started out for God, never had a failure in our life? Is there anyone here this morning? I don't normally ask for a show of hands. I would like a show of hands this morning. Because if you can raise your hands, you ought to be up here instead of me. If there is anyone that once you started out for God that can say, I've never had any failings, never fell short, never was motivated by fear, or maybe there's a place that I disobeyed, where are we left? In the fish's belly. Yes, the Lord sent a big fish to swallow Jonah. But I look at and we say, well, God was punishing Jonah. Was he? Was he punishing Jonah? Or did he allow that to bring Jonah to a place? Just like he did. We could just read a little more. Jonah said in verse 7, he said, when my soul fainted within me, he said, I remember the Lord. And my prayer came unto thee in thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But he said, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. He was in the fish's belly. He was in a place of darkness. He was in a place of loneliness. He was feeling isolated. I mean, he's in the fish's belly. You know, you kind of get that picture of Jonah sitting there in the fish's belly and the water all around him and seaweed hanging over his head and sitting there thinking. It's dark. There was no light. Have you ever been in the fish's belly? So, well, that was God's punishment. God used the fish's belly to bring Jonah to a place that he recognized that I need the Lord. And when I pray, God's gonna hear me. And when my soul fainted, but I'm gonna come back to the Lord. And I'm gonna do what I know I need to do. I'm gonna pay my vows. Maybe I've forsaken it. Maybe I haven't been as diligent. Maybe I've just flat out made a mess. But in that dark place, and the Holy Spirit comes and says, you know what? It's not over yet. Life is not over. Don't give up. And you say, okay, Lord, I'll do what I need to do, and I'm going to pray to you. And it said, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Do you know this morning you keep on reading, and it says in chapter 3, verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. We serve a God of second chances this morning. Amen? We serve a God that if you have disobeyed, if you have failed God, we serve a God of second chances. And dare I say, would I be out of line this morning to say we serve a God of third chances? We serve a God of four chances? How many have never had to come back? It was one time enough? Thank God for immediate victories and miracles. But there are times in life we get into a place, it just seems like we're not breaking through. And we start to feel discouraged. And we start to feel downcast. And we come to service, it seems like, well, everybody has the victory, but I guess I'm the only one that can't do it. Guess everyone's talking about having the joy of the Lord, and I sure don't have it. I'm in the fish's belly. And everybody might look on, I still have a smile on my face, and all the time inside I got seaweed hanging all over my spirit. Because you don't know what's going on in everybody's life. The Lord still loves you this morning. God has not given up on you. God wants you to make it. And if we will turn our heart back to God and say, Lord, I don't even necessarily know how I ended up here, but yeah, I know I ran from Nineveh. Or maybe you're there and you say, I can't even trace everything out to see where I got here. But Lord, I know I'm not where you want me. And Lord, I want you to give me light. David prayed, Lord, restore unto me the joy of salvation. The Lord wants to do that this morning. And if you are in a place, and maybe you don't need the message this morning, but if you don't need it this morning, there's going to come a day that you're going to need it. And you know how I know that? Because I've needed it plenty of times. And I dare say I'll need it in the future again too. That you get in a place and you feel like it's dark, you're lonely, and feel a little forsaken. And the Lord comes along and He reminds you that I'm still up in heaven. I'll restore. I'll forgive. I'll renew. You say, but am I not saved then? There are some situations, frankly, folks, I'm going to have to leave that up to God. But when you come to the Lord with a broken spirit and a contrite heart, the Lord will hear your prayer. And if you don't know whether to cross the T or dot the I, you let God do it for you. But you can still leave saying, I'm not in the fish's belly anymore. I'm not there. He came unto him a second time. If you have ever been in a desolate place, tell the Lord, whether it was once or 30 times, look again to the Lord this morning. Don't give up on Him. There is failure is something the enemy would like to use to keep all of us from living to our spiritual potential. In 1902, there was a poetry editor of the Atlantic Monthly that returned a stack of poems to a would-be poet. And he said, our magazine has no room for your vigorous verse. You know what that poet's name was that was trying to get published? Robert Frost. I hope some of you know who that was. 1905, the University of Bern turned down a doctoral dissertation. They said it was irrelevant and fanciful. The writer of that paper was Albert Einstein. 1894, an English teacher noted on a teenager's report card, now children, you take courage this morning. Wrote on a report card, he said, a conspicuous lack of success. That student was Winston Churchill. There are going to be times that you are going to face, and it seems like that you've just fallen short. And you think, where am I going to go now? What am I going to do now? To fail is to lose strength or power. It's a breakdown, the operation of something. It can come by neglect, omission, or just not succeeding. And again, I'm not going to quibble about the differences between failure and sin and at what point. That's not the point here this morning. Failure can destroy us spiritually. It can destroy us. Winston Churchill could have gotten that report card and say, there's no use of trying. My teacher said, there's just a conspicuous lack of success. Don't even try anymore. Albert Einstein, one of the greatest scientists, renowned today, but at the time he could have looked at that and said, okay, I'll just give up on it. It's not worth it. Failed. The devil would like to tell each and every one of you that same thing this morning. Just don't try. You know you failed. How big does the failure have to be before God gives up on us? How egregious? Let's talk about sin then, if you want to do that. How egregious does the sin have to be before God says, fine, it's enough. It was so bad, I'm going to turn my back on you. The Lord is not willing that any should perish this morning, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord has our best interest at heart this morning, whether it's a small failing of grace, whether it's a big failure, or whether you have flat out sinned and rebelled against God. There is a Lord up in heaven that died on the cross for your redemption, and He is ready and willing and waiting to forgive us and to restore us. And if we're in a place that we're saying, I'm in the fish's belly, it's not over. There's a place of hope for you this morning because God is still able. Where man can come to a certain point and can go no further, it is through the power of God that will bring the victories in our life. It is the power of God that can break this cycle of failure. Well, I tried once and I did okay for a while. How many of us have been there? The Lord talked to my heart and I made a change in my life. And it lasted a week, a month, 2 months. And then you fell back into the same pattern. Is it over? It's not over. Thank God that there is still power in prayer when we turn our heart to our Savior and say, Lord, my soul was fainting within me. I was weary, I was discouraged, I was tired, and I cried unto the Lord and He heard my prayer. Do you remember the story about Paul and Barnabas? It's found in Acts 14 when they healed the man. They healed the man and people were looking at him and saying, the gods are come down to us. I mean, these two men, they healed this man. And they said, was it Jupiter and Mercury? They've come down as gods walking as men among us. And Paul and Barnabas, I just love the way they phrase this. And I would that all of us get hold of it. I would that the failure get hold of it. And I would that all the self-righteous get hold of it. This is their response. They said, they ripped their clothes. It's like, don't praise us. Don't worship us. They said, we are men of like passion. In other words, we're just like you. You look at those that seem to have been so spiritually successful, they are just like you. They have had some ups and downs in their life. They have had areas that they fell short. They learned obedience. And you know, sometimes it is our failures. Not that the Lord wants failure, don't misunderstand. But sometimes we grow the most spiritually through the failures that we have in our life. The Lord wants to turn your failures into victories. The Lord will use your failures sometimes to let you see who you really are. Here you thought you were just doing pretty good and you thought you were pretty spiritual. And all of a sudden, you come to this abrupt stop and there's a failure. Do you give up? No. It's the Lord's mercy that allowed you to say, you know how much you need me? Yeah, Lord, I was getting a little bit self-sufficient here. I was just getting a little bit too steadfast in my own ways, and the failure brought us back to a place that we recognize, Lord, I desperately need you every day. There is no room for any of us to be self-righteous this morning. We need a Savior every single day. And if you are in the fish's belly this morning and it's dark and you feel alone and you're discouraged, it's not over. We are men of like passion this morning, but there is victory. Thank the Lord. There is victory in places where there has been failure. The Lord said in one place, I believe in Isaiah, He said, I will do, behold, I will do a new thing. I'll make a way in the wilderness. Where it was dry, I'll put water. He'll do something new in our lives. But you know, the Scripture also says this in Galatians 6:1. It says, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. How? In the spirit of meekness. Why? Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. In other words, we're men and women of like passion. And if I see my brother overtaken in a fault or a failure, who are we to throw a stone? Who are we to say, well, he should have known better. He should have. I have seen and observed through time, and this ought to be a warning to us about being a little self-righteous. I've seen people on certain doctrinal points so hard on people who weren't quite measuring up, and I've watched them fall to the same thing. But you know what I've also observed then? Because we don't want to get hard-nosed about those people. You know, you get self-righteous about the self-righteous. I've seen the Lord in His mercy help those people to humble down and be more compassionate and less judgmental because they realize that, you know what? We're all human. We're of like passion. We need the Lord. Let's not judge one another this morning, but let's pray for one another and seek to uphold one another and encourage one another, because all of us are prone to failure as long as we are in this flesh, but it takes the power of God to give us victory in those areas of failure. But the good news is He'll do it. But I just don't want to see anyone this morning that's in the fish's belly feel like that it's over. Some of it has to do with the vision that we have of God. See, we can have a vision of God that He is a loving God, that He's a kind God, that He's gracious and merciful, and a God that if you mess up, that He's there to forgive you and to restore. Or we can have a vision of God that He does have the truth on His side. And His sword is raised, and if you mess up, He's just looking. He's just looking to see who's messing up. And if you're the one, He's ready to just cut you off because you fell short. A God of judgment, a God that is ready to cut off. What God do we see this morning? Do you see how the enemy would like to create a vision of God in our minds that He's ready just to cut us off at every shortcoming? Every time we mess up, children, if you started out for the Lord and you messed up, say, well, I just can't do it. God's not ready to cut you off. But we just need to do what Jonah did and said, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'll do what You want me to do. It's my heart, Lord. I failed You, Lord, but I don't want to be cut off. The Lord will give you another opportunity. There's a place of spiritual growth. None of us are in heaven yet. It means there are some more giants to conquer in our life. And I think, well, I'm saved and have the Holy Spirit. Why is there this giant in my life? Because there's some more land to conquer. It's not time to run back to the wilderness. It's not time to run back to Egypt. It's to say, you know what? There's another walled city. But by the power of God, I'm going to go forward. And if I just win a wonderful victory at Jericho, and I think, I have the victory, thank God. Yes, give God praise. Then Ai comes along, just this little thing. It's like, I can handle that. I just destroyed Jericho. Go out to Ai, and remember the children of Israel lost the battle, and it was just a small, insignificant force. It was because they failed to seek God. I know there was some disobedience in the camp too, but they did not seek God. They went out in their own power because they just came off a great victory. I'm not going to let a little thing like that get me down. Lord, I still need you. We're dependent upon the Lord this morning, but He's gracious and He's kind and He's slow to anger and He's forgiving and His mercies and His faithfulness, they fail not. They're new every morning. I'm not preaching a message of sin you will, sin you must. But I'm preaching a message that if you find yourself in a place of failure, there's a God that will not cut you off and loves you and wants to forgive you and will give you a second chance if you're in the fish's belly. Thank God for that. We have an advocate this morning, don't we? My little children, 1 John 2, these things I write unto you that you sin not. That's the doctrine. That's what the Bible teaches. I write that you sin not. But I want you to remember this. With all the teaching and preaching about living free from sin and being spiritual and sanctified, and that's a wonderful experience this morning, I want you to remember something. He said, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Oh, in Psalms 130 verse 4, He said, but there is forgiveness with thee. The Lord forgave Jonah. He didn't want to cut him off. Yeah, Jonah, you should have obeyed me. There is some chastisement there, but Jonah, I'll hear your prayer and I see a heart that still wants to serve me, and that fish vomited Jonah up. That doesn't sound real appetizing. But do you know what? Sometimes it takes the difficult things to get us to a place that we can start fresh. And we can start new in the Lord. Remember the clay that marred in the hands of the potter? Have any of us marred in the hands of God? Are there any of us that have been... the Lord was working and making a vessel. And there's a place of contentment and there's a place of security when you know the Lord's using me. The Lord is working in my life and there's a place of security there. There's a place of joy there. But then we get a little bit dried out. A little bit, maybe some disobedience, a little bit of pride, or maybe you were just overtaken in a moment like Peter. You said something or did something that you really shouldn't have done. Did the potter take the clay and cast it aside? He didn't. He said, I'll make a new vessel. The Lord is still working in each one of our lives this morning. And if you have marred, if you have failed, the Lord is not finished. He's going to keep working if you will allow Him and be pliable in His hands. So a question I would like to pose this morning, is spiritual failure a spiritual death sentence? Is spiritual failure a spiritual death sentence? The answer to that is it depends upon how you respond to your failure. Do you realize that how we respond to failure is almost just as important as to what caused the failure in the first place? How are we going to respond? Do you know there's a real difference between someone that says, I failed 3 times. And what happens to the same man that says, I am a failure? Y'all know the difference? I am a failure. Or, I failed 3 times. If I say I failed 3 times, do you know what? That leaves the opening, that leaves the door open to try the 4th time and the 5th time. But when we start getting this mentality that I am a failure, we start closing the door to the possibilities of victory because the enemy wants us to start thinking that there's no hope. You're in the fish's belly. It's over. We know the enemy's a liar this morning. He's a liar. So if you are feeling like you are a failure, That's a lie from the enemy. You are not a failure this morning. You are valued. You are important this morning. God wants you. The church needs you. And you are important and valuable to each one of us this morning. You are not a failure. You may be in a state where you have failed, but you have potential and possibility of great victories when we open up our heart and say, Lord, I need some help here. You can't do it. Who's that sound like? You can't do it. Sounds like the enemy, doesn't it? You can't do it. You all know Napoleon. You all know who Napoleon was, don't you? Napoleon Bonaparte. Do you realize that he graduated 42nd in a class of 58 at military school? 48th in a class of 58. That sounds like a failure, doesn't it? And yet, he conquered country after country with some pretty marvelous military victories. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. If there's failure, if there's discouragement this morning, if you find yourself in the fish's belly, don't be turned out of the way, but rather bring those things to the Lord and say, Lord, I need some healing here. If you have failed this morning, don't cover it up. Don't hide it. Don't minimize it, but rather acknowledge it and do business. Fix it. Do what you can to fix it and fix the things that led to that failure. If every time you do A and it ends up at C, and C is failure, then don't do A. Alright? In other words, go and fix it. And that'd be more in depth, maybe study for another time. But take care of the things that lead you to failure. But deliverance, there is deliverance from moral failings. There is growth in our character and our personalities. There is growth. There's a need for that, that we can come more in the image of Christ. And this morning, if you have just fallen flat, fallen short, disobeyed, or just frankly found yourself in the belly of the fish, I would like to encourage you this morning to look unto the Lord. Don't give up. The Lord loves you. And He will give you another opportunity to seek His face, and He will give you deliverance from the belly of the fish. And it is no, and I'm going to go a step further here, saints. It is not, and it should not be, a spiritual disgrace for people to know that I needed to come and pray. I needed to come and seek the Lord because maybe it's perceived, maybe it's just my feelings or my emotions, or maybe I really did something and it got me in the belly of the fish. But whatever the case is, Lord, I'm dependent on You and I need You this morning. Yeah, that's not a disgrace because we have been there. Have we not? And next week, it might be me saying, Lord, I'm in a dark place. I need some help, Lord. So as we stand and conclude with a song, if you need to pray, if you want to come and just open up your heart to the Lord, this altar is open. If you want someone to pray with you, you ask Him this morning. But if there's anyone here that just wants to spend some time with the Lord is here to hear your prayer and minister to the needs and the weaknesses that we have in our life. Amen.